Amen. We sound like we are wide awake. Yes, sir. And ready to hear the word of God. No nodding, no sleeping, but paying attention to what thus saith the word of God. God has blessed us with life, health, and strength, and with the presence of mind to give him first honor in this day that's called Sunday. We're delighted to see those of you who are visiting with us, and we're glad to have you. And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you have any questions regarding the worship, don't hesitate to ask. And we will open God's book, the Bible, and share with you what thus saith the Word of God. Because one day, according to Revelation chapter 20, we're going to face God at the judgment and give an accounting of how we lived our life on his planet called Earth. This evening, we have a guest speaker. And there will be other times, by the grace of God, that we will have guest speakers from time to time. Guest speakers from right here in this congregation. We have some very talented brothers. Amen. And I'm looking at one right now. Amen. You might have missed that, but I don't think he did. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the speaker for this evening.
Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord again this evening. And I appreciate Brother Brown for asking me to bring the lesson tonight. Thank you for the confidence that he has in me. Won't be long, as I always say. We're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning with verse number 4. And reading down through verse number 7. Paul is the writer here, and he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the peace of God. Paul speaks about a peace which transcends all understanding. What does it mean to have that kind of peace? It's fascinating to think about a peace that is beyond understanding. The description of this peace indicates that there is something different about this peace. It is no ordinary peace. This peace is something that cannot be understood, only realized. There are many ideas regarding peace that many people have that do not come close to the kind of peace that Paul describes. Consider the dictionary definition of the word peace. It is the freedom from disturbance, tranquility. That's the dictionary definition of the word peace. However, when we consider and compare that definition to the kind of peace described in Philippians chapter 4, we realize that the definition falls short of what is described by Paul. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because there's something different about the peace that Paul talks about that differs from the dictionary definition of peace. The dictionary definition of peace, again, it's the freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility. But let's take a look at some things that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 8. Let's look at start with verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. When we read those verses, we understand that the peace that Paul talks about differs from the dictionary definition. The dictionary definition says that peace exists when we are free from disturbance. What Paul describes here is the fact that peace exists even in the midst of a disturbance. The peace of God which passeth all understanding is the kind of peace that we as Christians have realized as a result of our obedience to God. We understand that we can have peace even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our persecutions, even in the midst of our sufferings. We can still have peace. But if we just go by the dictionary definition of peace, everything must be free from disturbance in order for peace to exist. But as Christians, we understand that even in the midst of disturbance, even in the midst of trials, we can still have peace. Let's consider Psalm chapter 37. A lot of Bible reading here tonight. Psalm 37, we're going to look at verses 23 through 40. This is David writing. David says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in their time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. That's peace, ladies and gentlemen. That's peace for the Christian. For the faithful child of God, that's a description of peace. David is describing a variety of different challenges and turmoil that he may have gone through. But he understood that God was going to keep him. And because of that, he could have peace in his life. He didn't have peace when everything was going well, which is the dictionary definition. But he had peace because he understood that God was with him and that God was going to take care of him in all of his trials. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about the many trials and persecutions that he endured for the cause of Christ. Yet for every trial or persecution he mentioned, Paul lets us know what his mindset was regarding them. When he said, I was distressed, no problem, I'm fine. When I was cast out, no problem, I'm fine. Distressed, no problem, I'm fine. Paul understood what it meant to have peace, the kind of peace that the Bible describes. The dictionary definition suggests that peace and tranquility only exists when we're free from disturbance. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33, we see the story, and we can go through and look at that, but I'm just going to paraphrase that. That's the story of when Jesus had constrained his disciples to get into a boat and travel over to the other side, and he would meet them on the other side. But in the midst of their traveling, they came upon a storm. The winds were boisterous, and the waves were tempestuous, and they began to be fearful. And then they looked out on the sea, and when it was dark out there, they looked out on the sea, and they saw this being coming toward them, walking on the water. And they realized that that might be a ghost. Maybe that's a spirit. Jesus said, be at ease. It's me. You know who I am. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, let me come out there where you are. Peter wasn't asking to row the boat closer to Jesus. Peter was asking, let me get out of the boat and walk on the water to come to you. And Jesus said, simply, come. Peter got down out of the boat, stepped on the water. His foot didn't sink. He stepped on the water and began to walk toward Jesus. Peter was realizing that scriptural definition of peace at that point. But the minute Peter began to realize that, hey, I'm not supposed to be out here walking on the water. He looked at the wind. He saw the wind. He felt the winds beating upon his back. He felt the water just going across his body. And he realized this is not something that I'm supposed to be doing. And he began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus. He missed out on that scriptural definition of peace. Peace, from the scriptural perspective, is freedom and tranquility in the midst of the storm. And that's what Peter had. But the minute he began to take his focus off of Jesus, he began to sink. Jesus simply reached down, caught him by the hand, and pulled him up. And he said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You were already walking on the water. Why did you doubt that I would be able to bring you to me? Another example in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 for your notes. Another example of the disciples being in a boat traveling across on the sea. This time, Jesus was in the boat with them. But he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. They came across another storm. The wind's boisterous. The waves are beating upon the ship. And they said, they woke up Jesus. Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? And I thought about that when I read that passage. I said, that's the way that some children of God are. They only wake up Jesus when things are going bad. You know, anytime that things are going fine, Jesus can stay asleep. But the minute there's trouble, wake up, Jesus. Wake up. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing out here? Jesus said, he just simply said, peace. Be still. That's all Jesus said to the winds and the waves. And it amazed the disciples. They said, what kind of person is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. You can have the kind of peace that passes all understanding when you understand who is holding you in the palm of his hand. When you understand the connection that you have as Christians, we can enjoy the kind of peace that Paul talks about, the kind of peace that other people won't understand. They won't understand how you can be peaceful in the midst of trouble. They won't understand how you can have turmoil in your life and still be at peace and still be at ease. Only Christians who have a connection with God can understand that kind of peace. In both instances, the apostles could not enjoy the peace of God because they were affected by what they could see rather than by what they knew. In the first case, as I mentioned, the apostles knew they were following the instructions of the master. He had told them to get out on the water and go across to the other side. Yet when the storm arose, they forgot their purpose and their mission and began to be fearful. In the second case, the apostles had Jesus right there in the ship with them. Yet when the storm arose, they began to be fearful and woke up Jesus. In both cases, they could have been at peace despite being in the midst of a storm because of whom they served. What prevents us from experiencing the type of peace that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4? What prevents it is simply a lack of faith. Faith and peace go hand in hand. We cannot have peace without faith. The individuals in the apostles in Matthew, had they had the faith that they needed when they were going across that water, even when they encountered the storm, their faith would have carried them through that storm because they were following the instructions of the master. The apostles, when they were going across the ship and had Jesus in the ship, going across the sea and they had Jesus in the ship, had they had the faith in the one whom they served, they could have endured the storm without any fear because they understood we're following the instructions of the master. When we follow the instructions of our master, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need not fear the storm, because we understand that he is going to keep us even in the midst of the storm. He's going to sustain us, and he's going to provide for us. He's going to provide the necessary care that we need, even when we're going through difficult situations. Many times we as Christians, we endure needless stress and needless worry because we simply forget that we are being kept by the Father. And we are, if we're following his instructions, if we're living a life that he's pleased with, when we face dire situations, if we just keep in mind the fact that Jesus is the one who's keeping me, and I'm following the instructions of my Father, yet I'm having some difficulty at this time, if we remember the fact that God is sustaining us and he's going to be there, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, Lord, please stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, please stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of many persecutions, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. We can have the peace that passes all understanding, and we can always entreat the Lord to stand by us, even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of our difficulty, even in the midst of our trials. But that is a gift that is only provided for faithful children of God. Faithful children of God. Not children of God who are backsliding. Not children of God who are not faithful or not endeavoring to live their lives in accord with God's will. But that kind of reassurance and that kind of peace is only allotted to those who live faithfully in accordance with God's will. If you're here tonight and you realize that I have not been living a life that pleases God, and you want the kind of peace that we've talked about tonight, you're going through some difficulty in your life, and you're realizing, why can't I ever get it together? Why do things always seem to be in disarray in my life? And why, when I endure troubles, do I always seem to be worried and stressed? You can have that peace of God which passes all understanding. Perhaps you're not trusting Him. Perhaps your faith is not as strong as it should be. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's necessary for us as Christians to study God's Word on a regular basis so that our faith can be developed. And when our faith is developed, that peace that passes all understanding can exist in our lives. If you hear and you realize that you have not demonstrated that kind of faith, and you want to enjoy that kind of peace that we've talked about tonight, you have the opportunity to do that by coming and simply asking the church to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, that peace is not yours to enjoy. But it can be, if you are a member of the Church of Christ. Now, the Church of Christ is the only church that we can read about in the Bible. We can read the pages from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a church other than the Church of Christ. If you want to have the type of real, true faith and the true peace that exists and that passes all understanding, and you may say, well, you know, I'm doing fine. You know, I've got a good job, got a good home. I'm doing fine, got a nice car. But you're on your way to eternal damnation. See, Satan blinds the minds of people by allowing them to think that they're fine when they're really not. But he blinds them by thinking that all of the material, he gives you all of the, he allows you to think and have trust in all of your material gain. And you begin to think that, you know what, I must be doing all right. Because I have all of this material gain. And I'm doing fine, I'm healthy, my family's fine, no one's in trouble. But that's Satan's ploy to make you think, to have you get comfortable right there where you are. But unless you have a true relationship with God, and you are a part of the family of God, a member of the Church of Christ, the church that you can read about in the Bible, you cannot truly enjoy the peace which passes all understanding. We hear all the time about people who have lots of money, but when they face some dire circumstances, the first thing they think to do is take their own lives because they're not connected to anything else beyond their money. You can have that type of connection tonight with God that will have you enjoying the peace that passes all understanding. How does an individual become a member of the church? You come simply by hearing the word of God, which you've done, according to John 6:45. You must believe that which you have heard, according to Hebrews 11:6. As a result of having heard and having believed the word, it brings you to a point of repentance. That means you're godly sorrowful for the things that you've done that God's not pleased with, according to Luke 13:3-5. And then you can confess or acknowledge that you believe that Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, according to Matthew 10:32, when you complete your act of obedience by being buried in water baptism. Water baptism does three things. It washes away all of your sins. Everything that you've ever done that God's not pleased with is wiped away, and He forgets about it. He gives you the gift of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an enabler. It enables you or helps you to live a righteous life. And then he adds you to His family. You become His adopted son or daughter. You become a member of the Church of Christ, a member of the family of God. Jesus is your older brother, and God is truly your father. You can have that tonight. If you're in either disposition, please come as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises.